2 Kings chapter 4, and we're going to look at that today and what the Lord's laid upon our heart there to see, and how so much of this today ties into so much of what our church family is experiencing with the lost of loved ones this week, with loved ones that family are gathered around their bedside now, hoping for a miracle or waiting to see what the Lord's going to do with Samantha and Brother James in the hospital. Just so much stuff, so much sickness and things going on. Just remember our church family in all the prayers. But we're going to be in 2 Kings chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 8 through 37 and see what God has to say to your heart and my heart. And, and God gave me this message, and Mark even said he was proud of me because I sent it to him Tuesday. And, usually God don't finish my messages up until Saturday at 11 o'clock at night, and then he stays awake all morning putting up these slides. So, God laid this message upon our heart around Tuesday that we're going to deliver today. And, as I look at the picture he got, and the story goes with the Shunammite woman, that Elijah was there, and you'll see the part that we get to where the lady was holding her son. And the son passed away in her lap. And, and I'm sitting here thinking so much about Jennifer and CJ and Brian that they're at the hospital this morning with their 19-year-old baby in their hands, just waiting for what the Lord's will is, whether she goes or whether she stays, And I just sit there and I think about all the troubles and things that are going on, and Brad losing his mother that the other night, Miss D, and stuff like that. God is amazing how he works out passages of scripture in things in times of need. Well, we're going to look at, as I said, the Shunammite woman and see what God has to say to your heart and mind. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father and our God, Lord, I need your help this morning. And Lord, I just pray that you help me to be able to get through the message that you've laid upon our heart. And Lord, my heart goes out. My soul is aching, Lord, for these families of our church families, Lord, that are hurting. So many of them sick, so many in the hospital. Lord, and I forgot Miss Nina, but Miss Nina and her knee surgery, Lord, and their family taking care of her. Just so many church families that are in the hospital or sick or going through troubles and trials and tribulations and lost loved ones or in the process of losing loved ones. Lord, it breaks my heart because I love them, Lord. And I pray that you help me today as we open up this message, the Lord, that, Father, we can find peace in this message, that we can find grace to sustain us, the Lord, that you would just meet us in this place today, the Lord. And, Father, I pray as we open up your word that you defeat the devil, keep Satan at bay, the Lord, and get him away from here, and just let the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God have freedom to move and work in this church today. Father, I pray that you defeat the devil from all our families that are hurting, the Lord. Cast them away from them and let them feel and sense your presence today. Father, we just ask this in the precious name of Jesus that your word would go forward and accomplish that is pleasing and honoring to you. We give it all to you. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. In 2 Kings 4, in verses 8 and following, says this. It says, it fell on the day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman there. And she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. And let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on the day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? What dost thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily she hath no child, and her husband is old, And he said, call her. And when he called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And a woman conceived and bare a son at the season that Elijah had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to the lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And when she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out, and she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the donkeys, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. Then she saddled up the donkey and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. And she went and came unto the man of God, to the Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is the Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child? And she answered, it is well. What an amazing faith. What an amazing confidence. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins, and take my staff in thy hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not, and if thou salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother and the child said, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awaked. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. And he went therein and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child, and put his mouth upon his mouth, and eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed seven times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. So he called her. And when she was coming to him, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. When I thought about this, I thought about the older and older that I get. Y'all know, just turned 40. The older and older I get, how much more precious life is. How much more precious life is. How much more you realize what James says, for life is but a vapor, appear for a little while and vanish away. And it begins to have an impact on you. And my thing is I wonder, you know, there's a saying that talks about the dash of life. You have a birth date and you have an ending date, the date that you pass from this walk of life. In the middle is separated by a dash. And I wonder, when birth date and ending date and that dash, it's often said that the only thing in life that matters is the dash. What did you do with your dash? Did your dash have an impact on people's lives? What did you do? Why are we left here? Why did God choose to leave us here? Why are we here to do what the Lord wants us? He left us here to carry out His purpose and His reason for us in life. And for you and me to have an impact on others' lives. We have an impact on people's lives, folks. Either for the good or for the bad. Your life impacts somebody. What are you doing with your life? What is the impact that you have? And I pray all the time that, Lord, just allow me to have an impact on somebody's life today. Lord, allow me to minister to the need of people today that I come in contact with. Lord, allow me to have an impact on somebody's life today. Not for a name, not for a church, but for the honor and the glory of the Lord. Lord, let me have an impact on somebody's life today that you may get the honor and the glory for everything. As we see in verse 8, this lady, her name is not even mentioned, but is wrote down in Scripture, and it has a huge impact that will carry out for ages to come. It said in verse 8, it said, and it fell on a day that Elijah passed to Shunem, where was a what? A great woman. Where was there a great woman? Verse 8 says she was great. Talking about leaving your mark. This lady left a mark in her society. She left a mark to where she was. She left a mark on Elisha. And to be able to say, this lady was great. This was an unknown woman. But she was characterized as being great. So why study about her? Why try to imitate some of the things she's doing? I want to pick out some characteristics about this lady. Here was Elisha. Elisha was a traveling evangelist, obviously, a traveling preacher. As you read through these verses, and it said that that Elisha passed to Shunem, where there was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. So he passed by there often. He was going from town to town preaching God's word, delivering God's message. And so he come through this little town of Shunem, and this was his job. He was a traveling preacher going from town to town proclaiming God's word. And for whatever reason, there was this lady that took a liking to him, that took notice of him passing by, that went to her husband and said, hey, this man often passes by here. I can see that this man, and my spirit bear witness with this man, that he was a holy man of God. Can we build a little place for him? Can we put some things in there? Can we take care of this man of God? And I see that this lady was great in doing that. Number one, if you're taking notes, to her greatness, number one for her greatness was her spirit of service. What makes us great? What does people view us? You know, and we ought to have a spirit of service to the Lord, a spirit of giving back, a spirit of being obedient to what God wants us to do. And in doing that, God will get the honor. He will get the glory for what we're doing and what's going on and what's taking place. You know, being there, being available to be of service to folks that are in need. And so when we look at these verses 9 through 10, we see that to her greatness was her spirit of service. Look back at verse 9 and 10. It said, and she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passes by us continuously. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him a bed, a table, a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. And I thought about that. Here this was a woman. She was great. She was great in her service to the Lord. She didn't have a name. There wasn't a name for her that the scripture calls out. She probably didn't hit the headlines of a newspaper. She didn't do something so significant or something so bad that would get you there. Here she was, just a common person doing a great thing for the Lord. A common person doing a great service for Jesus. You don't have to have a big name, a big title, or nothing else. God just wants a willing servant to be about his business. And if there's any accolades that come from that, God gets the honor and the glory and the credit for it all. He just wants us to be obedient, wants us to be a servant, used of him. And then I find it in these scriptures that it didn't mention the lady's name, but it says she was great, but instead it did list everything she put in this man's room. She put in a bed. She put in a table. She put in a lampstand. She put all this stuff in there, and the scripture points out all that, but it doesn't give us this lady's name. She was great. She was great. She was a servant. You know, and I think about those things, and I think about what scripture says in Corinthians that the Lord just laid upon my heart if I can find it. And what it was talking about that, with Paul in 1 Corinthians 9, Mark, you didn't have it, God laid it upon my heart. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 22, Paul was saying this in 1 Corinthians 9, 22. He said, to the weak became I as what? Weak. That what? I might what? Gain the weak. He said, I made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. Paul said, this is what I want to be. To the weak I became weak. Why? So that I can save some, so that I can minister to them. He said, to those things I made all to all men, that I might by all means save some. Then I thought about what he said in that same chapter, Mark, in verse 27. He said this. He said, but I keep under my body and bring it under to subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to other, I myself shall be a castaway. That was this lady. That was this lady. She didn't need a title. She didn't need a name. She seen there was a preacher in town that needed a service, that needed something to eat, that needed a place to stay. She didn't even, the Bible doesn't even call her name, but said all the things that she did in service to Elisha and called out. And I think about this lady. To the weak, this lady became weak. To those that she might say something, she saw something in Elijah, a man of God, that she stepped out to take care of him. And I see her as Paul did, and as she was, and as I am, and I want to be. I want to be all things to all men at all times. I want to be like Paul. To the weak, I want to be weak. To the strong, I want to be strong. I want to be where God wants me to be. I want to be at least of anything that after I preach, I myself am a castaway, because it's not about me. It's all about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's all about Jesus. That's who it's about. And if we're doing it in the name of Jesus, that's all that matters. That's all that matters. It'll get out if it needs to get out. Here this woman was. She was doing that. She was a woman that had greatness in her heart. What made her great? It was her service that she offered to Elisha. It was the service that she did. It was taking care of a man of God in this point that she was taking care of. It's amazing to see that and to see her greatness that she had and the trust that she had in Elisha. Some are saying, well, what is a kind of service do we do? How do we have a service to the Lord? How can we do this or that? In Matthew 25, in verses following 31 through 46, it tells us if we have a neighbor that is sick, we're to provide a meal. If we have somebody that is in need, we need to go to them. If we know of a poor family that has kids need shoes, we need to provide it for them. If they have a winter time and they need a coat, let's get it for them. If they're hungry, let's feed them. And so how can we be greatness? How can we be that servant? How can we have a spirit of service? Well, it tells us this in Matthew 25. Jesus penned these words down in red. In verses 31 and following says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and shall separate them from one from another, as shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And when he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left, then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of this world. This is how you do greatness of service. Read the rest of it with me. He said, for I was hungered, and you what? You gave me what? You gave me meat. He said, I was thirsty, and you gave me what? He said, I was a stranger, and you did what? Took me in. He said, I was naked, and you what? I was sick, and you what? I was in what? Prison, and you did what? You came to me. Then shall the righteous answer, saying, Lord, When saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee a drink? When saw thee a stranger and took thee in, naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we sick or in prison and came unto thee? In verse 40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of them, to the least of them, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them that are on the left hand, depart from me, you're cursed into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and you gave me what?
No meat.
He said, I was thirsty, and you gave me what?
No drink.
He said, I was a stranger, and you took me not in. He said, and sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we a hunger, a thirst, a stranger, naked and sick, or in prison, and ministered unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but righteousness into a life eternal. When I think of this lady, she was a great woman. I see her that she took in Elisha. She provided him a food on his table. She provided him a bed to sleep in. She provided a shelter over his head. She might even put clothes on his back. I don't know. All I know is this was a great woman, and she provided the necessities that Elijah needed while he was traveling through town preaching. And she was called great. I see Jesus in this verse of scripture in Matthew that he said to us, if you see somebody a hunger, feed them. If you see somebody a thirst, give them something to drink. If you see somebody naked, clothe them. If you see a stranger, take him in. And that's exactly what this lady did. That is greatness of service. That's how you become great in your service for the Lord. And that is exactly, as children of God, what God depends and demands of you and me to do, is to take these characteristics on. Not only that, but number two, her greatness. She was content. She was content with what she had. It tells us in verses 11 through 13, it said, and it fell on the day that she came thither and turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto her, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all thy care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. Here was Elijah. He was basically saying, I got connections. Tell me what it is you want. You've been great to me. You provided for me and my servant. You've gave us a place to eat. You've gave us a place to stay and sleep. Tell me, what is it that I can do for you? What is it? Elijah knew, I got connections with the king. I got connections with the counselor and the captain and a host of people. What can I do for you for doing this service to me? She said, I have my own people. I have my own people. You don't have to do nothing for me, because I'm doing this to bring honor and glory to the Lord. I'm doing this to bring honor and glory to the king. With what we do, we should do it unto the Lord, not unto people. We should do it unto the Lord, not to get a pat on our back. We should do it because God tells us to do it, and it's a part of your makeup and my makeup as a child of God, as a servant of the king. We should be willing to do these things and not expect nothing in return. If there's anything coming back in return, God will give it to you. He will provide it for you. If there's something coming back, give it to the Lord. He'll provide it for us. But what we do, everything we do, should be to bring him honor and glory, to bring him up, lift him up, to exalt his name, not our name. Paul said, I must decrease and he must increase. He's the one that needs to increase. And in increasing, my friend, God will take care of everything for you and me. He'll take care of what we had need of. We just need to be doing our service to the king, a service to the Lord, what he called us to do, to bring him honor and glory and praise. And here was Elijah in this text. He's been staying in this little chamber prepared by a common family. He's appreciative. And he says to her, look, I've got a little pool. I know the king. I know the army of the commander. I owe you a favor. Just tell me, give me the word. What is it I can do for you? Oh, a lot of people would jump on that bandwagon, man. Hey, you got a job for me? Hey, can I get a pay raise? Hey, you know this individual. I would like to come work for him. Hey, I need a bigger car. Hey, I need a better house. Hey, yeah, I put you up. You owe me something. You know, but this lady said, I got my own people. You don't owe me nothing. I did it because the Lord laid it upon my heart. I got my own people. I got my own thing. God's taking care of me. And here it was. Elijah wanted to do something for her. She said no. When I think about that story, I think about 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 1 through 11. It says this. It says, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under a cloud and all passed through the sea. And were all baptized in Moses, in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink that same spiritual drink, for they drank that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them of God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent, we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, which were some of them, as it is written. People sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication. Some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for what? Examples. And that were written for our admission upon who the ends of the world are come. These things were written for you and me, so that we could take note of them, so we can apply them to our life, so we can live by the godly principles and examples that are set in Scripture for you and me to follow. These things were done for us that we might take note of that. Done for us for examples that we can be the example that Christ would have us to be. He done these things for us, folks. We've got the story. We've got everything God intended for us to have. We've got it all written. He wrote it down there for you and me to be examples for you and me, so that we can follow it and abide by it, and we can abide by this lady. This lady was great. She didn't have a name that supposedly wasn't mentioned in this scripture. It wasn't mentioned, but one thing was mentioned is she was great. She was great. Why? Because of the service that she did for the Lord. Because she did it unto the Lord and unto him, not to gain nothing out of it, not to gain prestige, not to climb up a ladder somewhere, not to get nothing done special for her, special treatment. She did it as a service of the Lord that you and I can follow it out as well. Everything we do, we ought to do unto the Lord to bring him the honor and the glory. Moses delivered them, the very intense scene of the Red Sea, but God delivered them. They get into the wilderness, and what do? They gripe and complain. There's no water, God gives it to them. There's no food, they get manna. Tired of manna, they get quail. Eat too much quail, they get sick. And they complain, and the story goes on and on and on. On and on and on with the children of Israel. Sound like some of us today, right? I'm tired of manna, so I'm going to get some quail. Well, Lord, you provided me an overabundance of quail, and I ate that, and I ate so much of it, made me sick, so I'm complaining that I got sick from you giving me too much quail. I ain't had nothing to drink. You gave me water from a rock, so I'm going to drink, and instead I want to be a rock. I shall not be moved. Yeah. We complain about everything and everybody and everything else. Isn't it amazing? What started in Adam and Eve still carries out today. You did it. It's your fault. Danny, if you wouldn't have done that, Mark wouldn't be the way he is. Mark, well, if Danny wouldn't have done it, I wouldn't be the way I am. That old Eve. If she wouldn't have done that, I wouldn't be the man I am today. Thank God for my Eve. Amen. But I don't know about Eve in the Bible. She caused a lot of problems. And so did Adam because he followed her. Oh, listen to me. Give it to the Lord. Give service to Him. Let Him take it over for us. Ah, what was the secret of being content? Paul is the master of it. He tells us in Philippians 11 through 13, he said this, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be what? Content." And that is exactly where this woman was. He said, "I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Paul knew. Paul knew what it was. Paul knew, and you know, I forgot my example I was going to show you today. But it's a matter of perspective. It's a matter of perspective. I got an example. It's a matter of perspective. Say, perfect, Danny, drink a little more. Below that line right there, drink. Yeah, drink right here. Bring it down to there. Awesome, Lord. See, Danny, God didn't know Danny already had what I need. Praise the Lord. You got it right there. You know, in life, it's a matter of perspective. It's a matter of perspective. I'm sure that I could pass this bottle of water around to many different people. And you're looking at it today. But you know how to tell a content person? You know how to tell a content person? When they look at this bottle of water, they say, "Thank you, Danny, for giving me a half a glass of bottle of water, half full glass of water." A content person will look at that water and say, "Thank you for the half bottle of full water." A person that is not content would say, "What do you want to give me a half an empty bottle of water for?" A person that's not content, not happy, and won't find fault and things and everything else will look at that and say, "Why you give me a half empty bottle of water? I was thirsty, man. What are you doing giving me a half empty bottle of water?" But a content person says, "I was thirsty, Daddy. Thank you for giving me a half a bottle of full glass of water." Thank you, Danny. You know, content. Are you content? You could tell. Oh, yeah, it's the same. It's perspective. It's a matter of perspective. Everybody has a perspective on this bottle of water, whether it's half full or it's half empty. Whether it's half full or whether it's half empty. A content person in the Lord will see this as a half full bottle. One that's not content will see it as half empty. Where are you at today? I don't want you to answer it. Where are you at today? You can answer it in your heart. It's a matter of perspective. I like to think Danny just gave me a half full bottle. Praise Jesus. Amen? And be happy with that. It's a matter of perspective. Listen to me. Look back at verses. We'll go to verse 19. In point three, everything she says is all right. Look at verse 19 and following. And he said unto the father, "My head," the child said, "My head, my head." It said to the lad, "Carry him to his mother." And when he had brought him to his mother, he sat on his knees until noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, "Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the donkeys, that I may run to the man of God and come again." And he said, "Where wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath." And she said, what? "It shall be well." Then he saddled up the donkey and said unto the servant, "Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee." And she went and came unto the man of God, the Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said unto Gehazi, his servant, "Behold, yonder is the Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her. And say unto her, It is well with thee, or is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child?" And she answered, "It is well." You know, and I know, her son had just died. Her son had just died. But what did she say? She was content and knew the man of God, knew what Scripture says, to the point of what did she answer back to Gehazi? "It is what? It is well. It is well. Everything is all right. It is well." When asked by her husband, she was going to see the prophet, she states, "Everything is all right. Everything is well." When asked by Gehazi, Elisha's servant, she says, "Everything is all right. It is well." It was everything all right here? No, she just lost a loved one. She just lost her only son. That was provided for her. But she says, it's okay. It's all right. And as I thought about this message, and I thought about Michelle and Jennifer and CJ and Brian, and I thought about all of them up at the hospital right now with a 19-year-old daughter and niece and grandchild. And as I ministered to them and spent hours with them, wee hours of the morning, with them, praying with them, trusting the Lord. Every time I go to leave, they say it's in the Lord's hands and it's going to be well. It's going to be okay. It's in the Lord's hands. We know that she's a child of God. We know that she was saved. We know that she was baptized. She attended church pretty regularly when she had an opportunity to and wasn't working. We know that where she's going to be is far better than where she is now. It's well. It is well. We went there and there was over 100 college and career age kids lined up both sides of the hallway for 300 yards down there. Had to open up separate rooms with security guards and rotate them three in, three out every 4 minutes. Took them 8 hours to get everybody in there. It is well. It is well. Imagine it is well in that time. In Philippians 4:13, I'm recalled that it says, and we'll read that. Philippians 4:13, what does it say? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheth me. The Shunammite woman knew what her strength was. Knew that Elijah was a man of God. Knew that if she can get there, she could find strength. And this is where that family was. Last thing in closing. I will not leave you. I will not leave you. In verse 29 and 30, it says this. It says, then he said to the Gehazi, gird up thy loins, and take my staff in thy hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not, and salute thee. And salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her out. Elisha was the man of God. To this woman, he was her direct link to God. No matter what was going on, she said, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to go there. No matter the outcome, live or die, she wasn't going to leave God. You know, and as I ministered to that family, I'm thinking, what do you say in a time like this? How do you minister to them? And as I sit there and minister to them, pray for them, the things that I kept hearing that God's in control, it's in God's hands, and we're not going to walk out on God. We're not going to walk out on God. It would be so easy when things come up against our life to throw in the towel and walk out on the Lord. But God ain't never done me nothing but good. God's never walked out on me. I've walked out on him, but he's never walked out on me. He's always been right there for me. He's right there for you. The same place you left him at, he's never left. He's right there. Go get him, grab him, and pick him back up again. This was a face of tragedy. What did she do? She turned to God. She prayed, and she prayed. When things didn't work out the way that she intended them to do, what did she do? She didn't blame God. She didn't turn her back on him. She said, I will never leave you. I will never leave you. What greatness this woman had. It's the same thing that God wants us to do. No matter what comes our way, God wants us to stay in his way. He doesn't want us to leave him. Danny, you guys can come back. No matter what we face in life, this woman was facing a lot, but the scripture says she was great. She was great, it said. She was great. How was she great? She was great in her spirit of service to the Lord. That she did it unto him. She didn't do it for herself. She didn't do it for the name. She didn't do it for some kind of greatness or anything else. She did the service that she did was to the Lord. She was content in what she had. Elisha could have gave her anything. But she says, no, I have my own family. And she was content with that. Content with that. Not only that, but when those troubles come, she was able to say, everything is all right. And not only was everything was all right, she said, I'll never leave you. My friends, that's what we need to do in times of that nature. We can be a service to the Lord. No matter what we're going through, and there's a ton of people going through a ton of things today, people in hospitals in three counties that I've been seeing. St. John's County, Duval County, Putnam County, and Alachua County. Four different places. I've been all over the country this past week. You know, up to 2-3 in the morning with these families. My heart aches for them. But I don't do it for some greatness for me. It's not about me. It's about God's kingdom and His work. And there's families that are in need that we respond to. We respond to. And in doing that service, you get all the reward you'll ever need. You'll get all that you'll ever need when you're there to minister to a family. When their mom is taking her last breath, and you're there with them, and you feel their pain. And you're there with a 19-year-old family. And you're gathered around the bedside of a 19-year-old. And hundreds of people are around. And you minister to the family, and you're there to minister to them, and they minister so much more to you. And say, it's well. It's going to be okay. You're there to minister to them, and they minister to you. That service goes to the Lord. He'll renew your strength. He'll renew you when you're tired. When you're wore out and you can't go no more, you'll find strength in Him. You'll find strength in Him. He'll get you through it. He'll take care of you. He'll give you the strength that you didn't know you had if you just put it in His hands. Maybe you're here, you've never made Jesus Lord of your life this morning. Won't you come? Give it to the Lord. Get right, get saved, give it to Him. Let Him minister to you. Maybe you're aware of all these families, folks. These families need prayer this morning. Maybe you'll come to the altar and pray for them. Get the burdens and lay them up there for these families. Maybe you want me to pray with you, I'll pray with you. Maybe you're looking for a church home. I'd love to be a pastor. This church would love to be a family. Whatever it is, do business with the Lord today, will you?